Our Lady, Queen of the Clergy, pray for us. St. Richard of Chichester, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Children, you'll remember that these Lenten Masses, even the very long ones, are quite a bit shortened from the old days. In the early centuries, there'd be a procession. Well, maybe not today since it was raining, but usually there'd be a procession with the Litany of the Saints, such as we have in the springtime, later on after Easter each year. And they would always process the Pope and the clergy barefoot, which would be hard on a chilly day like today, I'm sure. And the people would go with them, and that would be a great act of penance. It would be done in the afternoon, the Mass would. And they would always go to a certain church, and the church had something to do with the special Mass, especially the story in the epistle in the Gospel. And so that sometimes that's why we have the pictures up there of the saints of that church that we go to, and we say in spirit, every day during Lent. And so Miss Patton has been taking the little ones to see the pictures, which is a good idea. And that's a picture of St. Sylvester. And he was the first pope at the end of the persecutions. And today's church is originally a house that he had built to house the clergy, a little bit like our St. Marco Convento, where the priests, the young priests, live together. And then later on, it came to be dedicated also to St. Martin, because St. Martin raised three dead men back to life. And that's his picture. St. Martin, of course, was a soldier saint who cut his cloak in half to clothe a chilly beggar during the winter. Today's Mass, children, the Mass itself starts with a wonderful word, the word we had last Sunday all during the Mass, rejoice. We're rejoicing because it's only 2 weeks now till Holy Thursday. 2 weeks in effect until Easter, and the church is thinking about all of those who are dead in sin, their souls have no sanctifying grace, but who will be, by the prayers of Mother Church, and probably the prayers of their own mothers, raised up again to life and sanctifying grace. And so we have resurrection stories today, getting us ready for the Feast of the Resurrection, which is Easter Sunday. So the gospel we have this gospel in the summertime. Our Lord's going into Nain, and there's a boy who's died, a young man, and his mother's a widow already, and everyone's sad and weeping, and our Lord's thinking about his own blessed mother, and so he stops the procession, and he touches the wood of the stretcher. That symbolizes our Lord touching the wood of the cross, where he was crucified, so that we could have eternal life, children. And he just says, young man, I say to thee, arise, and the boy rises up. It's a miracle. And everyone praises God, and the young man goes back home to his mother, and the story has a very happy ending. Now, the epistle is a longer story from the Old Testament. He is one of the Carmelite, or Mount Carmel prophets, Eliseus. And Eliseus was a sort of a traveling missionary, and very often had to go through a certain city in Samaria. And there was a woman there who was called a Sunamitess, because that was the region, Sunamita, I guess. And she got to know the prophet when he would pass by, and she could tell he was a very holy, sincere man. And so she would sometimes give him something to eat or drink on his journeys. And eventually she said to her husband, I can tell that prophet's a good holy man. You know, we should make him a little room in our house that he could stay whenever he's passing through town. And we'll get him a little bed and a little chair and a little lamp, and he'll have everything that he needs. And so they did. And then the prophet was so grateful that he said to the woman one day, well, is there anything that you need? And of course, he knew that they didn't have any children, and she very much wanted to have a son. And so the prophet said, a year from now, you will have a son, even though her husband was very old. And they did have a son. And everything was going well. And the son was growing up. He was a young man when one day, working in the field with his dad, he said, my head hurts. And he said that twice. And then he went home, and his mother put him to bed, and he died. Well, the mother thought, the prophet, he prayed for me to have a son. He could heal my son. So she went to see the prophet, and she clung to his feet, and she wouldn't let go. But first of all, he thought that maybe he could send his servant, whose name was Gizi. And he sent Gizi along with his staff or his walking stick, sort of like a crozier, and that would be a symbol of the power of the prophet. And he goes along and he puts the staff over the dead boy, but nothing happens. And so Eliseus, the prophet, he has to come. And what he does is he shuts the door and he prays. Because you always have to pray if you want a miracle. And then he stretches himself over the dead boy, puts his eyes over his eyes and his nose over his nose and his hands over his hands, and he prays. And then the dead boy sits up and he yawns 7 times. That means the 7 gifts of the Holy Ghost, we're told. And he's restored to life. And the woman again falls at the feet of the prophet, and she's so grateful that her son has been raised to life. This could be a little bit of a story, children, about the priesthood. Sometimes there are priests who are a bit like Gehazi. Now, Gehazi wasn't a very good servant. He was very worldly, and he was cruel to people, and he was money-grubbing. He just wanted money. In fact, you remember the story of Naaman the leper, who was healed by the prophet during one of the other Lenten Masses? Well, he wanted to give some money to the prophet, and the prophet said, "No, I don't want any money. It's God's miracle." And so the servant thought to himself, that man wants to give us some money. I could use some. So he ran after Naaman, who was a general and was very wealthy, and he said, "You know, we have some people back here that just came in, and they could use the money, so why don't you give me some of your money?" So he gave him lots of silver and a wonderful garment for him to wear, because he was just after material things. And that's probably the reason why, even though he laid the staff of the prophet, the wood that symbolizes the cross, over the dead boy, nothing happened. But the prophet, he went not for money, and he went to pray, and he accommodated himself. Do you know what that word means? That means that he tried to help out. He tried to become as small as the boy, in a way. And that's how a priest has to do when he's helping people. He has to accommodate himself to them and help them out just as much as possible. And then there was the miracle, and life came back to him. Now, that's a great grace to have priests like that, children. And that's why we pray for priests every month on the first Thursday. That's today. We pray for priests. Today's the feast day of a wonderful English priest and bishop, and his name is St. Richard of Chichester, and he is sort of a saint like St. Thomas More. He's a very English saint, but he's a wonderful example of being a good son and a good servant and a good priest. His parents had a farm, and they died when he was fairly young, and the man who was supposed to be taking care of things ran it into the ground. And even though Richard was just a boy, he wasn't even a teenager yet, he could see what was happening. And so he started to work the farm himself, which was considered very unusual back then. Usually servants would do that work. And he drove the cart, and he planted the crops, and he managed things very well. And pretty soon, the farm was in good working order. A few years later, all the debt was paid off, and his older brother gave him quite a bit of the land in gratitude. When he heard that his older brother was having second thoughts about giving him the land and also wanted him to get married, he left town because he didn't want to fight about the property, and our Lord was calling him not to be married but to be single. And he studied for a long time in Paris and in Italy, and he came back as a lawyer, and then he became a priest, and he was the chancellor or the assistant to the Bishop of Canterbury. His name, he was a saint too. And these two saints worked together very well, and they helped each other out. And there was a very wicked king then, and his name was Henry III. And he didn't want our saint to become the Bishop of Chichester, even though he had been properly appointed to the job, because he wanted to put an unworthy man in who was just interested in money. That's a big theme in history, children. That's why we should always be very generous in giving things away and never be avaricious in holding things. Well, finally, he did become the bishop. And because the king didn't approve, he didn't have any place to stay. His house or his palace was locked to him. And he had to go around from place to place as a missionary, taking care of things a bit like the prophet Eliseus did. Never mind, he did a lot of good for a lot of souls. Eventually, he did get his house back. God sees to our needs sooner or later. in his own good time. And then the Pope asked him to do a favor and to go and preach the Crusades against the Mohammedans. And he died when he was 55, exhausted from all of his travels and all of his labors. He led a very penitential life, and he would never eat any meat. He, too, like yesterday's saint, had Lent all year round. But his guests, he would give them meat because that's what people were used to eating back then as today. One time he was walking by the kitchen of his house, his palace, and he saw some chickens being prepared for dinner. And he said, half jokingly, as the English will, he said, "Oh, those poor chickens, if they could talk, they would curse us because it's on our account that they're being killed. Poor little beasts." He was what we would say today as a vegetarian. He never ate any meat, but only for the reason of offering up a penance. And he wore a scratchy old hair shirt next to his flesh as well. Those are some of the things that he did that helped him always to do the right thing his whole life long. Finally, St. Richard of Chichester is the one who gave us this beautiful prayer. "Lord Jesus," he prayed, "thou art my friend and my Lord and my Savior. Please help me to know thee more clearly, to love thee more dearly, and to follow thee more nearly." That's good, a good prayer for all of us. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.